for me, it's all part of a journey, and it's a journey that I signed up. But I need to make these observations because I think they're critical for us doing the thing that we need to do as citizens in a democracy. That's where we are in this country and what our democracy still looks like and the assumptions about U.S. leadership around the globe. And are we living, are we really still a role model for democracy in this country? Or have we made it, you know, a kind of a joke? And here's the good news. While mainstream outlets denied me a critical platform, they didn't shut down my ideas, which have especially flourished among young voters and independent voters, thanks to the alternative media. Many months ago, I promised the American people that I would withdraw from the race if I became a spoiler. A spoiler is someone who will alter the outcome of the election but has no chance of winning. In my heart, I no longer believe that I have a realistic path to electoral victory in the face of this relentless systematic censorship and media control. So I cannot in good conscience ask my staff and volunteers to keep working their long hours or ask my donors to keep giving when I cannot honestly tell them that I have a real path to the White House. Furthermore, our polling consistently showed that by staying on the ballot in the battleground states, I would likely hand the election over to the Democrats with whom I disagree on the most existential issues, censorship, war, and chronic disease. Oh, I want everyone to know that I am not terminating my campaign. I am simply suspending it and not ending it. My name will remain on the ballot in most states. If you live in a blue state, you can vote for me without harming or helping President Trump or Vice President Harris. In red states, the same will apply. I encourage you to vote for me. And if enough of you do vote for me, and neither of the major party candidates win 270 votes, which is quite possible, in fact, today our polling shows them tying at 269 to 269. And I could conceivably still end up in the White House in a contingent election. But in about 10 battleground states where my presence would be a spoiler, I'm going to remove my name. And I've already started that process and urge voters not to vote for me. It's with a sense of victory and not defeat that I'm suspending my campaign activities.
Very, very sophisticated.
Not only do the impossible by collecting a million signatures.
You'll actually hand blue states to Trump.
The national political conversation forever.
Because they're still going to go vote.
Disease, free speech, government corruption.
And then Trump's going to get the state.
Have moved to the center of politics.
He's an independent.
I
He'll pull out of the blue and Trump's
so
going to get blue states.
The last year
genius.
Thank you for a job well done.
Old-fashioned artillery.
We had great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. And now to throw my support to President Trump, the causes were free speech, a war in Ukraine, and the war on our children. I've already described some of my personal experiences and struggles with the government's censorship industrial complex. I want to say a word about the Ukraine war. The military industrial complex has provided us with a familiar comic book justification like they do on every war, that this one is a noble effort to stop a supervillain, Vladimir Putin, invading the Ukraine and then to thwart his Hitler-like march across Europe. In fact, tiny Ukraine is a proxy in a geopolitical struggle initiated by the ambitions of the U.S. neocons for American global hegemony. I'm not excusing Putin for invading Ukraine. He had other options. But the war is Russia's predictable response to the reckless neocon project of extending NATO to encircle Russia, a hostile act. The credulous media rarely explain to Americans that we unilaterally walked away from two intermediate nuclear weapons treaties with Russia and then put nuclear-ready Aegis missile systems in Romania and Poland. This is a hostile, hostile act. And that the Biden White House repeatedly spurned Russia's offer to settle this war peacefully. The Ukraine war began in 2014 when U.S. agencies overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine and installed a hand-picked pro-Western government that launched a deadly civil war against ethnic Russians in Ukraine. In 2019, America walked away from a peace treaty, the Minsk Agreement, that had been negotiated between Russia and Ukraine by European nations. And then in April of 2022, we wanted the war. In April of 2022, President Biden sent Boris Johnson to Ukraine to force President Zelensky to tear up a peace agreement that he and the Russians had already signed, and the Russians were withdrawing troops from Kiev and Donbass and Luhansk. And that peace agreement would have brought peace to the region and would have allowed Donbass and Luhansk to remain part of Ukraine. President Biden stated that month that his objective in the war was regime change in Russia. His Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin simultaneously explained that America's purpose in the war was to exhaust the Russian army, to degrade its capacity to fight anywhere else in the world. These objectives, of course, have nothing to do with what they were telling Americans about protecting Ukraine's sovereignty. Ukraine is a victim in this war, and it's a victim of the West. Since then, since tearing up that agreement, forcing Zelensky to tear up the agreement, we've squandered the flower of Ukrainian youth, as many as 600,000 Ukrainian kids and over 100,000 Russian kids, all of whom we should be mourning, have died. And Ukraine's infrastructure is destroyed.
All right, Faye Kennedy down for a moment. We'll go back to him. But I'm drinking some apple cider here. This isn't actually champagne, but it's the next best thing. I just want to salute RFK Jr. He's kind of split the baby here, but it has the exact same outcome. It's admitted that his wife, who's a big leftist, threw a huge fit and said, please don't, get off the ballot and all the rest of this. So he's like, okay, fine. I'll suspend my campaign. I'll stay on the ballot in blue states, but I'm getting off in Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and the other battlegrounds. And then if you still want to vote for me where it doesn't really matter, go ahead. But really, I guess that's him explaining it to his wife. That's not how it's going to work. Blue states that are close to going red, you will see several blue states or more, I predict at least two, go red because of that. So his people will go out and vote for him instead of Biden as independents. That'll pull mainly from Biden. And then he's pulling out the ballot in the red states, so it's a head-to-head between, I keep saying Biden, it doesn't matter, the puppet, Kamala. And then Trump will have an even bigger shot at overriding the fraud. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And so by getting off the ballot in the battleground states, he gives Trump at least 5, 6, 7 points. And by having people vote against Biden in blue states, we'll probably get some blue states. So this is definitely champagne time. Here's to RFK Jr., a bold move, but it's still on the surface. Won't outrage his wife. She probably doesn't understand politics that much. And so there you go. And it also won't piss off some of his constituency that absolutely hates Trump, which is probably about half of them. So this is pretty smart by RFK Jr. Nobody said he's a dummy. And so this is a big deal. Let's go back to him. This is historic.
But now one of the two candidates has adopted these issues as his own to the point where he has asked to enlist me in his administration. I'm speaking, of course, of Donald Trump. Less than 2 hours after President Trump narrowly escaped assassination, Callie Means called me on my cell phone. I was then in Las Vegas. Callie is arguably the leading advocate for food safety, for soil regeneration, and for ending the chronic disease epidemic that is destroying America's health and ruining our economy. Callie has exposed the insidious corruption at the FDA, the NIH, the HHS, and the USDA that has caused the epidemic. Callie had been working on and off for my campaign, advising me on those subjects since the beginning. And those subjects have been my primary focus for the last 20 years. I was delighted when Callie told me that day that he had also been advising President Trump. He told me President Trump was anxious to talk to me about chronic disease and other subjects and to explore avenues of cooperation. He asked if I would take a call from the president. President Trump telephoned me a few minutes later, and I met with him the following day. A few weeks later, I met again with President Trump and his family members and close advisors in Florida. In a series of long, intense discussions, I was surprised to discover that we are aligned on many key issues. In those meetings, he suggested that we join forces as a unity party. We talked about Abraham Lincoln's team of rivals. That arrangement would allow us to disagree publicly and privately and fiercely, if need be, on issues over which we differ, while working together on the existential issues upon which we are in concordance. I was a ferocious critic of many of the policies during his first administration, and there are still issues and approaches upon which we continue to have very serious differences. But we are aligned with each other on other key issues, like ending the forever wars, ending the childhood disease epidemics, securing the border, protecting freedom of speech, unraveling the corporate capture of our regulatory agencies, getting the U.S. intelligence agencies out of the business of propagandizing and censoring and surveilling Americans and interfering with our elections. Following my first discussion with President Trump, I tried unsuccessfully to open similar discussions with Vice President Harris. Vice President Harris declined to meet or even to speak with me. Suspending my candidacy is a heart-rending decision for me, but I'm convinced that it's the best hope for ending the Ukraine war and ending the chronic disease epidemic that is eroding our nation's vitality from the inside, and for finally protecting free speech. I feel a moral obligation to use this opportunity to save millions of American children, above all things. In case some of you don't realize how dire the condition is of our children's health and chronic disease in general, I would urge you to view Dr. Carlson's recent interview with Callie Means and his sister, Dr. Casey Means, who is the top graduate of her class at Stanford Medical School. This is an issue that affects all of us far more directly and urgently than any culture war issue and all the other issues that we obsess on and that are tearing apart our country. This is the most important issue. Therefore, it has the potential to bring us together. So let me share a little bit about why I believe it's so urgent. Today, two-thirds, we spend more on healthcare than any country on earth, twice what they pay in Europe. And yet, we have the worst health outcomes of any nation in the world. We're about 79th in health outcomes behind Costa Rica and Nicaragua and Mongolia and other countries. Nobody has a chronic disease burden like we have. And during the COVID epidemic, we have the highest body count of
any country. It's all by design, just like fluoride.
16% of the COVID deaths, and we only have...
Got to come to grips with that.
4.2% of the world's population. And CDC says that's because we are the sickest people on earth. We have the highest chronic disease rate on earth. And the average American who died from COVID had 3.8 chronic diseases. So these were people who had immune system collapse, who had mitochondrial dysfunction. And no other country has anything like this. Two-thirds of American adults and children suffer from chronic health issues. 50 years ago, that number was less than 1%. So we've gone from 1% to 66%. In America, 74% of Americans are now overweight or obese.
None of that's by accident.
And 50% of our children. 120 years ago, when somebody was obese, they were sent to the circus. There were case reports done about them. Obesity was almost unknown. In Japan, childhood obesity.
That's right. A fat lady was quite a spectacle.
Compared to 50% here. Half of Americans have pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes. When my uncle was president, I was a boy. Juvenile diabetes was effectively non-existent. A typical pediatrician would see one case of diabetes during his entire career, a 40 or 50-year career.
We're being murdered.
Today, one out of every three kids who walks through his office door is diabetic or pre-diabetic. And the mitochondrial disorder that caused diabetes, also causing Alzheimer's, which is now classified
as
diabetes.
The aspartame.
And it's causing
the fluoride, the 5G, the injections.
There's been an explosion.
You go to the grocery store, you can't find gum that doesn't have aspartame, even the sugar gum.
ADD, ADHD, speech
delay, language
delay, Tourette's syndrome, narcolepsy, ASD, Asperger's, autism. In the year 2000, the autism rate was 1 in 1,500. Now autism rates in kids are 1 in 36, according to CDC nationally. Nobody's talking about this. One in every 22 kids in California has autism. And this is a crisis that 77% of our kids are too disabled to serve in the United States military.
That's how you kill people.
What is happening to our country? And
eugenics.
Why isn't this in
game
minds every single day?
In-game blueprint for global enslavement. Watch the film.
The world that is experiencing this. This is only happening in America.
We were slated to be gotten rid of.
About 18%. And by the way, you know, there has been no change in diagnosis, which the industry sometimes like to say. There has been no change in screening. This is a change in incidence. In my generation, 70-year-old men, the autism rates are about 1 in 10,000. In my kids' generation, 1 in 34. I'll repeat, in California, 1 in 22. Why are we letting this happen? Why are we allowing this to happen to our children?
Why they block therapeutics during COVID? Why they give us a poison shot? They want us dead.
How can we let this happen to them? About 18% of American teens now have fatty liver disease. That's like one out of every five. That disease, when I was a kid, only affected late-stage alcoholics who were elderly. Cancer rates are skyrocketing in the young and the old. Young adult cancers are up 79%. One in four American women is on antidepressant medication. 40% of teens have a mental health diagnosis. And 15% of high schoolers are on Adderall and 500,000 children on SSRIs.
Being murdered.
So what's causing this suffering? I'll name two culprits. First and the worst is ultra-processed food. About 70% of American children's diet is ultra-processed. That means industrial manufactured in a factory. These foods consist primarily of processed sugar, ultra-processed grains, and seed oils. Laboratory scientists many of whom formerly worked for the cigarette industry, which purchased all the big food companies in the 1970s and 80s, deployed thousands of scientists to figure out chemicals, new chemicals, to make the food more addictive. And these ingredients didn't exist 100 years ago. Humans aren't biologically adapted to eat them. Hundreds of these chemicals are now banned in Europe, but ubiquitous in American processed foods. The second culprit is toxic chemicals in our food, our medicine, and our environment. Pesticides, food additives, pharmaceutical drugs, and toxic waste permeate every cell of our bodies. The assault on our children's cells and hormones is unrelenting. And name just one problem. Many of these chemicals increase estrogen. Because young children are ingesting so many of these hormone disruptors, America's puberty rate is now occurring at age 10 to 13, which is 6 years earlier than girls were reaching puberty in 1900. Our country has the earliest puberty rates of any continent on the earth. And no, this isn't because of better nutrition. This is not normal. Breast cancer is also estrogen-driven, and it now strikes 1 in 8 women. We are mass poisoning all of our children and our adults. Considering the grievous human cost of this tragic epidemic of chronic disease, it seems almost crass to mention the damage it does to our economy. But I'll say, it is crippling the nation's finances. When my uncle was president, our country spent $0 on chronic disease. Today, government health care spending is almost all for chronic disease. And it's double the military budget. And it is the fastest budget growing budget item in the federal budget. And chronic disease costs more to the economy as a whole, costs at least $4 trillion, 5 times our military budget. And that's a
the globalists couldn't take America over from without, so they did it with from in. And the U.S. is the test for all the other countries. They admit it. This is the end game.
Communities suffer disproportionately. People who worry about DEI or about, you know, bigotry of any kind, this dwarfs anything. We are poisoning the poor. We are systematically poisoning minorities across this country. Industry lobbyists have made sure that most of the food stamp lunch program, about 70% of food stamps and about 70 or 77% of school lunches, are processed foods. There's no vegetables. There's nothing that you would want to eat. We are just poisoning the poor citizens, and that's why they have the highest chronic disease burden of anybody, any demographic in our country, and the highest in the world. The same food industry lobbied to make sure that nearly all agricultural subsidies go to commodity crops that are the feedstock of processed food industry. These policies are destroying small farms, and they're destroying our soils. We give about, I think, 8 times as much in subsidies to tobacco than we do to fruits and vegetables. It makes no sense. If we want a healthy country, the good news is that we can change all this. We can change it very, very quickly.
This is such a wonderful message. It's
America
so on target.
Can get healthy again.
He's just using this to educate
to do
people.
That, we need to do 3 things. First, we need to root out the corruption in our health agencies. Second, we need to change incentives in our health care system. And third, we need to inspire Americans to get healthy again. 80% of NIH grants go to people who have conflicts of interest. These are the people, virtually everybody who sits, Joe Biden just appointed a new panel to NIH to decide the food recommendations. And they're all people who are from the industry. They're all people who are from the processed food companies. They're deciding what Americans, you know, here is healthy. And the recommendations on the food pyramid and what goes to our school lunch programs, which go to the Swiss program, the food stamp programs, they are all corrupted and conflicted individuals. These agencies, the FDA, USDA, and CDC, all of them are controlled by giant for-profit corporations. 75% of the FDA's funding doesn't come from taxpayer, it comes from pharma. And pharma executives and consultants and lobbyists cycle in and out of these agencies with President Trump's backing. I'm going to change that. We're going to staff these agencies with honest scientists and doctors who are free from industry funding. We're going to make sure the decisions of consumers, doctors and patients are informed by unbiased science. A sick child is the best thing for the pharmaceutical industry. When American children or adults get sick with a chronic condition, they're put on medication for their entire life. Imagine what will happen when Medicare starts paying for Ozempic, which costs $1,500 a month, and it's being recommended for children as young as six, all for a condition, obesity, that is completely preventable and barely even existed 100 years ago. Since 74% of Americans are obese, the cost, if all of them took their Ozempic prescription, is $3 trillion a year. This is a drug that is made by Novo Nordisk, the biggest company in Europe. It's a Danish company, and the Danish government does not recommend it. It recommends change in diet to treat obesity and exercise. And in our country, the recommendation now is for Ozempic to children at age six. Novo Nordisk, the biggest company in Europe, and virtually its entire value is based upon its projections of what it's going to sell, of the Ozempic it's going to sell to America. And we have the food lobbyists have a bill in front of Congress today that is backed by the White House, backed by Vice President Harris and President Biden to allow this to happen. This $3 trillion cost that is going to bankrupt our country. We, for a fraction of that amount, we could buy organic food for every American family, three meals a day, and eliminate diabetes altogether. We're going to bring healthy food back to school lunches. We're going to stop subsidizing the worst foods with our agricultural subsidies. We're going to get toxic chemicals out of our food. We're going to reform the entire food system. And for that, we need new leadership in Washington. Because unfortunately, both the Democrats and the Republican parties are in cahoots with the big food producers, Big Pharma and Big Ag, which are among the DNC's major donors. Vice President Harris has expressed no interest in addressing this issue. Four more years of Democratic rule will complete the consolidation of corporate and neocon power, and our children will be the ones who suffer most. I got involved with chronic disease 20 years ago, not because I chose to or wanted to. It was essentially thrust upon me. It was an issue that should have been central to the environmental movement. I was a central leader at that time. But it was widely ignored by all the institutions, including the NGOs, who should have been protecting our kids against toxins. It was an orphaned issue, and I had a weakness for orphans. I watched generations of children get sicker and sicker. I had 11 siblings, and I had seven kids myself. I was conscious of what was happening in their classrooms and to their friends, and I watched these sick kids, these damaged kids. In that generation, almost all of them are damaged. And nobody in power seemed to care or to even notice. For 19 years, I prayed every morning that God would put me in a position to end this calamity. The chronic disease crisis was one of the primary reasons for my running for president, along with ending censorship in the Ukraine war. It's the reason I've made the heart-wrenching decision to suspend my campaign and to support President Trump.
This is powerful.
This decision is agonizing for me because of the difficulties it causes my wife and my children and my friends. But I have the certainty that this is what I've meant to do. And that certainty gives me internal peace, even in storms. If I'm given the chance to fix the chronic disease crisis and reform our food production, I promise that within 2 years, we will watch chronic disease burden lift dramatically. We will make Americans healthy again. Within 4 years, America will be a healthy country. We will be stronger, more resilient, more optimistic, and happier. I won't fail in doing this. Ultimately, the future, however it happens, is in God's hands, and in the hands of the American voters and those of President Trump. If President Trump is elected and honors his word, the vast burden of chronic disease that now demoralizes and bankrupts the country will disappear. This is a spiritual journey for me. I reached my decision through deep prayer, through hard-nosed logic, and I asked myself, what choices must I make to maximize my chances to save America's children and restore national health?
They are coming for the children. This is so powerful. I love RFK. This is amazing. I've criticized him some, but he's a real guy.
That I could have saved lives of countless children and reversed this country's chronic disease epidemic. I'm 70 years old. I may have a decade to be effective. I can't imagine that President Harris would allow me or anyone to solve these.
No, she's a cold-blooded minion.
After 8 years of President Harris, any opportunity for me to fix the problem will be out of my reach forever. President Trump has told me that he wants this to be his legacy. I'm choosing to believe that this time he will follow through. His son, his biggest donors, his closest friends, and all support this objective. My joining the Trump campaign will be a difficult sacrifice for
my wife and children. Joining the campaign.
If there's even a small
not just endorsing Trump.
Of saving these kids. Ultimately, the only thing that will save our country and our children
is will and action.
Is if we choose to love our kids more than we hate each other. That's why I launched my campaign.
Wow.
To unify America. My dad and uncle made such an enduring mark on the character of our nation, not so much because of any particular policies that they promoted, but because they were able to inspire profound love for our country and to fortify our sense of ourselves as a national community held together by ideals. They were able to put their love into the intentions and hearts of ordinary Americans and to unify a national populist movement of Americans, blacks and whites, Hispanics, urban and rural Americans, inspired affection and love and high hopes and a culture of kindness that continue to radiate among Americans from their memory. That's the spirit on which I ran my campaign and that I intend to bring into the campaign of President Trump. Instead of vitriol and polarization, I will appeal to the values that unite us, the goals that we could achieve if only we weren't at each other's throats. The most unifying theme for all Americans is that we all love our children.
By the way, there's no teleprompter here, folks.
United, now, we can finally give them the protection.
Kennedy's amazing. I already really like him a lot, but I've been
future that they
pissed at him about a few things, but this is really, we know he's for real now. Wow. 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 Man, that was super ultra real, totally authentic. I mean, it felt so good to fight for our children and to know we're going to turn the tide. And he's dead on about the depopulation operation. That's the key to everything. And I just wish when he was in town a month ago and they called me to go get dinner with him, I didn't get the message 2 days later, but we're going to hook up soon. And the point is that I'm glad the campaign called and gave us this. And I was like, why? They're like, well, we love you. So just, okay. So, I'm not going to say other things with Kennedy, but I'll just leave it at that. But it did come from high up in the campaign, very high. So, folks, right in the middle of it, very close to the decision-making. So there you go. And I get a little paranoid thinking, I was asking Roger, is this a setup or something? Are they trying to use this as a test? And Roger goes, well, there are cases of this, but I don't think so. They could be doing it. This is a policy stuff, but I don't think that's how Kennedy is. He really says what he thinks, even though we disagree with him on some things. And that's really what you want. Even though I disagree with Kennedy on some fundamental things, overall, I agree with him. And the guy's got courage, and he understands what's happening. And talk about aborting 60-something million babies. They've killed hundreds of millions of us with these shots and fluoride and all over the last 75 years. They are murdering us in mass. Now, I called Roger right at the end of the speech. I said, will you pop on? He said, yeah, I haven't eaten since yesterday afternoon. I'm at the corner pizza place getting a slice. He said, you know, I could hear the pizza people in the background. You know, he's at the counter. So we're going to call him in a few minutes. But Trump was just speaking live. I think he's still speaking. And you bet you're going to see Kennedy at the thing tonight at the Trump event in Arizona. And it's going to be amazing. And the war room will be going then. Who's hosting the Warm today? Because Owen's on vacation. I love Owen. He works really hard. What a great week to pick vacation. The Chase Geyser do a great job. 3 p.m. Central in 25 minutes from now. And we will have the Trump rally tonight. They'll continue on into the rally if it goes past 6. Central, the crew's doing a superlative job. I want to play a clip of President Trump talking about Kennedy while Kennedy was still speaking. Again, Trump is actually still speaking, but we backed it up. Here it is.
For being here. We just had a very nice endorsement from RFK Jr., Bobby. And I'll be talking about that. We're heading out right after this. We're going to be going to Arizona. We'll be talking about that and a lot of other things, too. But I just want to thank everybody. And I want to thank Bobby. That was very nice. That was really very nice. That's big. He's a great guy, respected by everybody. So thank you all for this incredible welcome we're getting. And I'm going to tell Javier the next time we do this together, he's going to give me a little light up here. Can you give me a little light so you can read this little speech? But you know what it does? It makes you speak a little bit less, and that's okay, too. But I do want to thank you all, and I want to thank Javier. This is a fantastic restaurant, and the reputation is as good as it gets, as good as it gets. And I'm going to come here next time to eat. Is that okay? Huh? I will be doing that, too. We have with us Lieutenant Governor Stavros Anthony, wherever Stavros is. Thank you very much, Stavros. That's an honor. We'll see you soon, okay? Thank you. That's really an honor. Great guy, too. And Nevada GOP Chairman Michael McDonald. Michael. And he's very happy about the no tax on tips because he was the one, he was the first one that presented a, after the young, beautiful waitress that suggested. I said, what do you think of it, Michael? He said, I think it's a great idea. But we've come here today to talk about the biggest promise I think that the restaurant workers have had in a long time, and that's no tax on tips. And in our case, we mean it. Somebody that I know just copied it, but you know that's not going to happen. If you're a restaurant worker, a bartender, a hospitality worker, a caddy, a barber, a mover, a driver of any kind, or anyone else, you rely on a lot of tip income, hopefully a lot. But when I win in November, hopefully we're going to win. We're going to turn our country around. We're going to make America great again. We are going to let you keep 100% of your tip income and not be harassed. And just so you understand, the other side, Kamala, have you ever heard of her? Kamala? Nobody ever heard of her before. She lost in the first round. She was the first one out in the... It's a weird thing. He got 14 million votes, and he's sitting on a beach angry as hell. And she got no votes, and she's running. So you explain that to me. But the United States is home to an estimated 5.5 million workers whose livelihoods depend on tip income. And they work with their hands and their talent, their sweat and their skill. And they are really skilled people, and they're great people. They're people that have been with me always, and I'm with them. I'm doing them a big favor. Nobody ever heard of this concept before, and it's something that makes a lot of sense. As soon as I heard it, I said, let's do it. And then they copied us a couple of months later, but I don't think anybody's buying it. I don't think anybody's buying it. It's like last night, the speech. She made 26 different things that were lies. She lied, but that's okay because a lot of people lie. They'll do anything to get elected. But she lied about, you know, she's increasing taxes, I'm decreasing taxes. And she put it the other way around. Perhaps she misspoke.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's some of what Trump's saying, responding. And he was speaking while Kennedy was still speaking. Kennedy, right at the end, broke down in some tears and said, for the children, and because Trump has promised me and his crew has promised me and his family has promised me that we're going to get the poison out of the food and out of the, you know, systems and this chronic disease in children, that that will be, he wants that to be his legacy. Trump wants it to be his legacy. The Trump's told him that personally, that he's fully endorsing Trump and is going to go on the campaign trail to create unity and love and get Trump in and save America. Roger was out getting a slice of pizza, has been working so hard, he didn't see all of Kennedy's speech. He didn't hear that end part. Extremely powerful, Roger Stone. What do you make of this?
The whole day is extraordinary. First of all, Alex, just pertaining to that clip you just pulled, The Culinary Union in Nevada is the backbone of Harry Reid's Democrat organization. By proposing no tax on tips, Trump has just grabbed a huge number of rank-and-file union votes in a swing state. It is absolutely brilliant. This development, exactly as you called it, 3 days ago, I guess it was, when we put finer point on it last night with our friend Luke Rudkowski. This is a sea change. It changes the race. It ends any momentum that may have come out of the Democrat convention. It gets all of the patriots kind of on the same page. And Trump is now committed to doing something about our food. This is enormous. So I think it's a win for the American people, but it is definitely a blow to the Kamala Waltz, psyop.
Well, Roger, I can hear you're in a restaurant, but it's great to have you popping in here. What type of slices are you getting?
A slice with sausage and a slice with mushroom. True Sicilian.
All right, so you missed the big part where he started crying for the children and said Trump has pledged to me that his main legacy will be saving the children from chronic disease and all the poison in the food, and then saying he's going to hit the campaign trail hard. And so Trump's now leaving, what is it, Vegas. So I would expect them to be together. I think there's no doubt RFK Jr. is the surprise guest at this event in Arizona this evening.
Well, I think the whole thing, Alex, speaks to the character of RFK. He, like his father and his uncle, ardent anti-communist, pro-freedom. He's wrong on a couple issues, but in the bigger picture, he understands a ruling elite that no one elected who are running this country, and they will use any trick in the book, pandemics, assassinations, all kinds of hoaxes to try to hold on to power, not to mention weaponizing the criminal justice system. So this decision to do this for the children, for the future, because if the food is poisoned, we will die off. It will kill our country. Shows you that Kennedy is a good man with a good heart. I would be shocked if he does not show up at the rally with President Trump tonight in Phoenix. Imagine what that audience would be like nationally. It will dwarf the Democrat National Convention.
Absolutely. We can hear you pretty good, but talk right on your telephone. I'm going to let you get back to those delicious slices. What do you make of him? Because his wife wanted him to not get off the ballot, just suspend the campaign. He's getting off in the battlegrounds and endorsing Trump fully, but saying he's going to stay in the blue to pull votes away from Democrats, turning some states potentially red for Trump. What do you make of that?
That's a pretty shrewd calculation now that I've had a chance to examine it and understand what he was doing. Look, I think he is very angry, and he should be, because he basically was screwed over by the party of his father and his brother. The Democrat Party, in the early goings, lined up the rules to kneecap him the same way they did Bernie Sanders. They would not let him compete. And then, even worse, when he became an independent, Mark Elias, using millions of dollars from the Democrat committee, tried to remove him from every state, fighting him in state by state, challenging to petition, challenging his filings, challenging his right to be on the ballot. I think he understood that it was an intractable, impossible problem in the face of their power. But by joining with Trump, he could contribute to the greater cause here and beat those who destroyed his candidacy. They never even gave him a chance.
Absolutely incredible. I'll let you get back to your pizza. You've been working really hard. We simulcast last night, but any other closing points or analysis, Roger Stone? This has got to really scare the deep state right now. I think Trump's in greater danger than ever.
I totally agree with that. We talked about this on your show earlier. They're going to become more hysterical. They're going to become more insane. They're going to become more vicious. They're going to become more dangerous. They cannot win a free, fair, honest democratic election, and they know it. I should say transparent election, and they know it. So we need to be looking. Are we about to have a monkeypox, a pandemic? Nothing here would surprise me.
In closing, one more thing, Roger, and I'll eat that pizza. Yep. You said this is one of the biggest political scoops ever. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my horn. I think it's big, but why do you think me getting this scoop Tuesday is so big?
Look, you have friends in the health freedom movement because of your long positioning as an advocate for health freedom. And There are many of them in the Kennedy campaign. But I think it demonstrates that, once again, InfoWars, tomorrow's news today.
Stone Zone. StoneZone.com. Thank you so much, Roger.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
There goes Roger. All right. The crew has done a superlative job. I was going to have Dr. Stella Emanuel in here on monkeypox and all the rest of it, but she's taping the studio because Kennedy was 45 minutes late, which is fine. And we're going to have coverage of the Trump rally. And you guys told me, but I'm going from memory. Is the Trump rally starts at 4 p.m. Central, or is that 4 p.m. Arizona? Look up Trump's Arizona rally today. He's crisscrossing the West Coast, that whole area. And he's going to speak, and we need to know when that rally is going to be. And even if it comes on after 6 Central, if it is 4 their time, we'll have the feed up on InfoWars.com. But the crew deserves a break. They've been up here all week until 11:30 or midnight covering the nightmare that was the DNC. It's at 5 Central. So I'll leave it up to the crew because they've kicked ass. If they want to go past 6 o'clock, and carry the feed, because, if it starts at 5 Central, Trump will probably be up there about 5:30, RFK probably about 6. So I think this is very historic, so it's up to the crew. I barely see my family this week. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I really am not going to do a Saturday show unless they try to kill Trump again or something. We'll be up here. I'll be back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, and then Sunday live, 6 to 8 p.m. with Chase Geyser. And that's kind of a guest host slot thing we've got. I wish Owen would have been here this week. I'm not complaining. He chose well-deserved. The guy worked so hard. Vacation this week. And so he's not been here. What a week. But Chase and Harrison and the rest of the crew, Maria Z was here. We've been holding down the fort. We appreciate them all. I cannot thank the crew enough for the just incredible job they do, and not just running the shows, but putting up with me. A lot of our equipment, I'm not, again, complaining, is 8 years old. So we've had a lot of units and systems going out, a lot of things. And we're battling the globalists to stay on air. I have not given an update yet on the future of InfoWars. There have been massive developments the last 2 weeks, huge things. It'll be giant stories with the future of InfoWars. They tried 7-8 weeks ago to lock the doors and kick us out without a court order. The judge fired the federally appointed people. The CRO and the U.S. trustee, and then put me back in control of the company, but said I had already begun in my own personal bankruptcy, because I'm out of it now, liquidation, because InfoWars is mine, it's an LLC, then that process of liquidation happens, InfoWars is now, as of yesterday, officially, I guess I'll make the announcement now, up for sale. Now, there's a lot of buyers, people that are patriots that want it and will come in. They don't own me, and they don't own all the content we've done, because that's free to air and my free speech and my words. But there's going to be bids publicly in the next few months when they launch the official date. Big online auction. They're going to try to sell the whole thing off. And they've already said globalist billionaires are planning to swoop in, but we've not talked about that much money to do it. So when the rubber meets the road, there's a lot of legality there, too. And exposure. So there's a very good shot that we will continue on. If not, I just, we'll work for somebody else, fire something up, and it'll be a little bit of a hiccup for the crew and things, but that'll just make us bigger, the fact that they shut us down, and we'll just come right back. And the info war will never die, even if they think they're able to, get the name or the website or something. I mean, because the people are the info war, and I am the info war, but there's a lot of other stuff behind the scenes. And so I'm going to give you all the details very soon. I'm always like, I'll tell you later. Here, boom, I'll tell you. I'm a type of guy that doesn't hold stuff back. In fact, we break major news throughout the 4 hours every day. But a lot of times I'll say, coming up next hour, I'll tell you about this. And I'll start telling you about it for 10 minutes. It's because I don't play games and, tease a bunch of stuff. I will say what's coming up because I'm covering something else at this point. We've discovered all the stuff, who financed the FBI, the CIA, the billionaires involved, how they ran it, the PR firms. It's all coming out. And whether we continue on or whether we leave, we got the names, we got the dates, we got the people, we got everything. I mean, this is going to be just huge. And I've just been too busy trying to save the country and deal with operations to even, you know, this stuff's so big, I've got to, like, put the documents, the video, the research, and just nail this. Because if you think the CIA guy admitting that they set us up and did all this, or the FBI getting on the stand and saying, yeah, we got the lawsuits going in Connecticut, the head of the FBI in Connecticut, the head lawyer, the head counsel, folks, these people have been operating like vigilantes, like they're God. And they just do whatever they want. And they just sit around in front of lawyers and witnesses and just talk about their missions to take me off the air. And the Justice Department sent emails to lawyers when I declared bankruptcy almost 2 years ago and said he'll never be allowed to use the bankruptcy system. He will not overcome us. We're shutting him down. And they get on the courthouse steps and say that. They're just like brazen. Forget censorship, folks. They had the Justice Department come in here in the last year and a half with Justice Department lawyers and literally hand me in depositions U.S. code saying you say one thing wrong, you're going to prison. And I'm like, I got CPAs and people. I don't even touch my bank accounts. I'm not a numbers guy. You guys got a problem. Oh, yeah, we know you've stolen all this money. We know you're a crook. And then, of course, they dug, and the judge gave them whatever they wanted. They raped me with three outside accounting firms and charged us our money to investigate ourselves, outside firms. And they had PIs and groups trying to infiltrate and, you know, just and set us up. And they would contact employees and contact our security company and say, we want to meet with you at a private security company about a contract. And then, well, will you commit crimes for us like you do with Alex Jones? And they're like, what are you talking about? I mean, just absolutely insane crap. Because they're a bunch of wannabe CIA, FBI spies who just think they can just assault a talk show host. Because I'm sad that, you know, we've gone from 1 in 1,500 kids with autism to 1 in 30-something. And then everybody's dying of cancer. And we're like, well, this is bad. And you're like, shut up. We're going to put you in prison, you nasty liar. How dare you say the government's poisoning people? Remember they said in the Texas rig court, and you say the government's involved trafficking kids. I go, like the Clintons with Epstein? I mean, these are people that have joined with evil, not the lawyers, the politicians, the people, and they are just committed that they're the winners, they're going to dominate, they'll do whatever they want, and the whole world's waking up to your ass, not just America. So that's where we are. So we just got to keep our heads, pray to God, keep focus, expand our spiritual journey like RFK Jr. was talking about, pray multiple times a day, and realize it ain't Satan that's in control. Oh, he's the little god of this world over systems he controls. He's the god of all the crap that the Satanists have, you know, twisted and built off the ashes of our civilization. But God is in full control of the whole thing, and it's part of God's plan. So I have been through quite the gauntlet. We are a serious weapon of truth against the enemy. I do believe, humbly, deserve your support. I believe one of the best places to invest your time, your energy, your prayer, your support, InfoWarsStore.com, incredible products, incredible supplements, books, films, T-shirts, water filtration, high-quality, affordable food, ready to ship. InfoWarsStore.com, big sales, nitric boost to clean out your heart and body, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the 1,000-milligram organic vitamin C with the rose hips, the other formula combos that do incredible things in that, like the rose hips. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And then my embattled sweet father, who I got to get out of his dental office business because it was killing him 12 years ago, and to come in and help me make the best supplements possible. Well, he saw the writing on the wall years ago and set up his own warehouse, and a lot of the products not available at InfoWarsStore.com are available exclusively at drjonesnaturals.com. You'll notice half the products are sold out there because he hasn't had the money to even reorder a lot of the stuff, though he's put everything in he's got to reorder most of the stuff that'll be in a few months. And regardless what happens to InfoWars, he'll be a sponsor there. But we need you to get the Shrimp Force, the Silver Bullet, Little Silver, the Kaba Chill, the Next Level Foundational Energy is almost sold out. Isn't a stimulant, but acts like one with no letdown. So good for your cells. It's energy that makes you feel good and have no letdown and makes your body healthier and your telomeres and your mitochondria. Next Level Foundational Energy, all the Nano Silver products, the Nano Silver toothpaste, the turmeric toothpaste, and with no additives, no fluoride, all concentrate. Lasts twice as long as average, than, you know, depending on how much toothpaste you use, maybe three times longer, four times longer. But it's concentrated. DrJonesNaturals.com. DrJonesNaturals.com. We're backing you. We're standing up. We're fearless, but we can give out. I don't sell out. I don't give in. I don't back off. I don't back down. Don't know how, but I could give out. So I need you to support our sponsor. You know, you're like, well, your dad sold out of this stuff. Somebody, no, he's, they've, last year, I was talking to him last week, over $1.5 million So that's all the quote profit to even buy product. It's beyond the profit. It's the profit would probably be like $500,000. It's all the money that came into there with the Democrat Party lawyer suing the living hell out of him. And he's happy. He's like, fine, we don't care, whatever. I'm like, no, Dad, we're going to keep it going, and we're going to defend this, and we're going to win. So he's taking his savings, what he had left, to buy product that's coming in, some of it in a month, some of it in 2 months. And again, the auction to sell InfoWars is going to be in like November. It takes a month for the sale to go through, December, so we're through the election, and it may take longer. And we may be able to, we have buyers, but they try to outbid us. Whatever. It's all in God's hands. As long as we go down fighting and don't give up and fight as hard as we can. But my dad is in this fight. He's a big sponsor. He's paying money to InfoWars. He's paying money to lawyers. He basically gets nothing at this point. In fact, I was meeting with him last night. I was going over his books, and I was like, my God, Dad, you're, he goes, yeah, I'm actually spending what I got left of my savings. He goes, I just put everything I had into buying product to keep this going. He goes, and he goes, please, son, don't even worry about it. I'm here for you. I'll do anything for you. And it's just like, oh, these people. I mean, it's just like, but what great parents I've got. My dad's like, don't you worry. Because I was one that demanded to see all this. I was like, what's really going on? Let me check. Because my mother, I was over there like a week ago eating dinner. And she goes, David, that mattress is 8 years old. And it's kind of broken and it's uncomfortable. Can I have a bed? And he goes, yes, we've got the money for that. And, you know, the globalists think that that's the kind of thing that's going to make us miserable. No, we love being persecuted for goodness. But what I don't love is failing and them beating us. I will go through hell to fight these people and will never give up. But I can't do it without you. You are the political, spiritual energy air I suck into these fat little lungs and this big red heart that allows us to attack the enemy. You're like the diving tank. Your support is the tank I put on my back when I got to dive into the enemy nest and take these eels on. And I'll go in there with a spear gun politically and fight these damn eels all day. I love it, actually. I love seeing them in their eyes, you know, this is a metaphor, but glowing in the dark and trying to bite me. And I get their ass. And I go up every day with a bunch of, you know, eels on my back that I've wiped out. But more eels are coming, and they're pissed, and they're mad, and they've sent in their reserves, and they are going all out. This is the big fight. This is a war. This is what it's about. DrJonesNaturals.com. Make the damn decision to join the fight for the Second American Revolution or have communist rulers over you. But whatever you do, pray for the broadcast and share the articles and share the videos and follow us on X Real Luck Jones and share them, because when you get excited, nothing on earth can stop you. God be with us. Who can stand against us? Incredible 4-hour broadcast. Incredible job, crew. Now, Chase Geyser takes over for Owen Schroyer, who's on vacation with his turtle. Literally. He deserves it. Got an African tortoise. All right, what's his name? I forget. Doesn't matter. It's hilarious. All right, we'll be right back with the War Room.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin, their body temperature. Like we walked in here, we had to go through a body temperature test. But exactly the same technology can determine what you think about the government. You know, anger is a biological phenomena, just like disease. With this kind of surveillance, I mean, you watch a big president, a big leader, gives a speech on television. The television could be monitoring you and knowing whether you're angry or not, just by analyzing the cues, the biological cues coming from your body. Maybe even right now, the people who are watching us are being watched and analyzed. Are you angry about what you hear? Are you frightened? Are you bored? This is the kind of power that Stalin didn't have. You know, when Stalin gave a speech, everybody, of course, clapped their hands and smiled. Now, how do you know what they really think about Stalin? It's very difficult. You can't have a KGB agent following everybody all the time. Even if you do it, he's just watching your outside behavior. He doesn't really know what's happening in your mind. But in 10 years, the future Stalins of the 21st century, they could be watching the minds, the brains of all the population all the time. And also they will have the computing power to analyze all that.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.